way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
That you went and grabbed Bastille Day. That is fantastic. It is Bastille Day. Not that we really spend a lot of time focusing on that, but I do always have a soft spot for the French, if only because, you know, we'd still be British if it were not for them. And so, you know, a little bit of honor where it's due. They didn't just make us that nice statue. You know, they helped us substantially in the Revolution. And again, had it not been for the French, we would probably be speaking English today. You know, and they're part of our history here in Pensacola, of course. But yeah, Bastille Day, it's when they stormed the Bastille and declared their independence. I saw a headline yesterday, and game of the willies. And then the more I read, the more the willies I got. And I thought, you know what, we should probably talk about this. This is actually a pretty interesting topic. So Christian Science Monitor, generally, it's a fairly good resource. I don't necessarily agree with all their perspective. That's okay. I like to look at a lot of different things. The headline, should billionaires pay a wealth tax? California will be a big test. Starts off, first sentence, widening income inequality and a growing number of U.S. billionaires is supercharging the political debate around wealth tax at both the national and local level. Democratic lawmakers and candidates, including some from the party's energized Democratic Socialist wing, it may not be a wing anymore, y'all, are promising to impose new levies on the uber wealthy. Those aren't people who got wealthy driving Uber. Those are people who are very wealthy, but I figured you knew that. Should they win control of Congress, citing both fiscal and moral imperatives? Many blue states and cities are exploring similar measures, even as critics warn of high-income residents fleeing to lower-tax red states. How dare they use their freedom of mobility to run away from terrible government? But anyway, a key test will come this fall in California, where voters will decide whether to impose a one-time 5% tax on the state's billionaires. Trust us, it'll only be one time. We'll do it this one time. We'll never do it again. Okay, anyway. Of course, it goes on. And, you know, critics of this, including Gavin Newsom, which you might say, wait, I thought he was a Democrat. He is, but he's not one of the looniest of ones, says it could decimate the state's tax base by driving wealthy people away, because people who are going to lose 5% of the net wealth might decide, better to move to Florida or Texas or Georgia or literally almost anywhere except Illinois or New York. Opposition groups funded by Google co-founder Sergey Brin have spent over $100 million to try to defeat the initiative, you know, because $100 million is chump change compared to 5% of their billions. And they're backing some different initiatives that would work on it differently. Okay. So there's a note in the story, and it says why we wrote this, which I thought was kind of a, you know, why would this Christian Science Monitor write this article? With the top 1% holding nearly one-third of household wealth in the United States, that's true, efforts to impose new levies on the wealthy have been gaining traction. A key test will come this fall when voters decide whether to impose a one-time 5% tax on state's billionaires. So you put all of that in the hopper on the front end, and you ask the question, well, is there anything I'm missing in my thinking about this? Is there anything that they have failed to address or approached in the wrong way? I would say that the question is being asked the wrong way. Don't ask what share of the total wealth the wealthiest have. I don't particularly care what share of the wealth they have or I have. What I want to know is, are we doing better or worse over time? Because, I mean, let's imagine that, you know, the Andrew McKays of America are, you know, able to have a greater share of the overall wealth available in America, a greater share, but it comes because there's a massive recession and, you know, billionaires and millionaires and deca-billionaires are all losing their shirts. And even, you know, even my portfolio or my house value, whatever, goes down. But in the process, the wealthy get hit so hard that my share of the overall wealth has gone up. Am I better off? No, we'd all be worse off. And it doesn't make me happy to know that the other people in the upper end are worse off by worse, by more than me, because I don't really care. What I want to know is, how am I doing? He said, well, Andrew, that's a fantastical situation. Okay, but it starts to prime your thinking about this. Let's look at some of the numbers and ask the questions that are being taken for granted here. I will in a second. We've got PJ with traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 both continue to flow smooth. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Gulf Breeze, that's flowing smooth as well. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Because remember, when it comes to wealth, I don't know how many times I'm going to have to explain this, but apparently for a long time, I used to think that teaching logic for 10 years and I'd get everybody thinking straight and then we're fine. It doesn't work that way. Every year, there's a brand new group of people who do not know how to think well, and you cannot fix them in, you know, 4.5 month semester. So it's an ongoing project. I sometimes think the same thing. You hear these comments about, well, you know, the wealthy, how dare we have Elon Musk as a trillionaire? Well, I don't know why. What did he do to you? Well, he's got $1 trillion, and if he didn't have it, I'd have more. No, you'd just both have less. And there wouldn't be, you know, Starlink satellites, and there wouldn't be Teslas, and there wouldn't be SpaceX. If he didn't do what he did, we'd all be just worse off. What did he do to you to make you worse off? Well, he has all my money. No, he has his money. And in fact, in having his money, what he has is debt. Money's debt. Money's debt. Money is a debt we, as a society, owe to the person who has money. Think about it. When you have $100, what does it mean to you? It means you feel like the society owes you $100 worth of stuff. Money's debt. You have debt that you have, or you're owed the debt that your money represents. So you don't think that you stole from people to get your $100, your $1,000, your $10,000. And unless you did, you didn't. You earned it. How'd you earn it? Delayed gratification. You took a thing now and in exchange, you know, or you created a thing now and you sold it in exchange, you know, you got money, like your labor, for example. You produced something. And the idea was that eventually you would give somebody the money and they would give you the stuff. That's it. That's all money. Money's debt. We sometimes say an IOU. I don't know. That's a great way of thinking about it because people don't really use IOUs that much. But, you know, money is a debt. A debt that all of society. Why does it say this money, this cash is legal tender? It's the obligation to pay back the debt. Because if people stop paying back their debt for money, then guess what? People won't take money anymore. And then your economy really runs into trouble. Okay, so if somebody has $1 million, do they owe back to society? No, literally the opposite. We owe them $1 million. That's what it means to have $1 million. So this notion that, well, the wealthy should do more with their money. The wealthy already did more. That's why they have money. But again, I digress. I know these are hard things to wrap your brain around when you've been trained on socialism for so long. And when you've been trained on resentment and class warfare and, you know, the wealthy are the reason that I'm poor and all that nonsense, okay? Mostly because people are really misguided in their thinking about money. I mean, I used to do a whole week on money in my ethics classes, and that's not even enough to touch it. But that, like, some of the basic misconceptions people have is that whole issue of, well, if somebody has more, then somebody else has less. No, nonsense. Anyway, but back to the case in point. The wealthy and the rich-poor gap, something that people take for granted, because when you say it on its own, it sounds outrageous that the top 1% of America owns 30% of the wealth. And that's true. It's about 32%. Is that bad? Well, again, you can't say on its own. How are the poor doing? Or even the ordinary? Okay, well, let me give you some numbers. This is worth looking at. The Federal Reserve, nicely put out, has a big data sheet on all these numbers. The top 0.9%, like the 99 to the 99.9%, okay, they have $30 trillion in total aggregate wealth. That's about 17 to 18% of the total amount of wealth in the U.S., which is right around $170 trillion. And don't worry about the trillion. I know nobody knows what a trillion is. It doesn't matter. Just think about it this way. The 30 is the number you want to think of. The top, not quite 1%, the top 0.9% have $30 trillion and 17% of all the wealth. Golly, that seems like a lot. Well, the top 0.1% okay, the very, very tippy top of the wealth owners have almost as much, $25 trillion to $30, okay, and 14% of the overall wealth. So the top 1% of all wealth owners in this country have about $55 trillion worth of wealth amongst them. 1%, $55 trillion. Out of $170 trillion, that seems outrageous. How can 1% of people have a third of the wealth? Okay, fair enough. We'll get there. What are the bottom 50%, the you and me's of the world? I mean, you know, if Quint Studer, you know, is listening, you know, not him, okay? But, you know, we have lots of wealthy people in town. But, you know, the bottom half of all wealth owners have $4.3 trillion. It doesn't seem like very much next to, you know, $55 trillion for the top 1%. 1% have 55 and 50% have 4.3. How can that be? That's not fair. That's only 2.5% of all the wealth. Unfair. Well, that's not the question. How are we doing compared to how we used to be doing? And when you look back over 10 years and the same numbers, I mean, these numbers bear out over time. I just happen to pick 10 years as a good reference point. So 10 years ago in the United States, there was about $85 trillion of total wealth. 2015, Q4. Q4 of 2025, $170 trillion. We've doubled in overall net wealth in that time. Look at the stock market. There's a lot more wealth in this country, right? There's all housing prices. What were housing prices like in 2015? What are they like today? What's the cost of a car? Well, inflation's terrible. Yeah, but that means the car you own is also worth more, okay? And even taking some of that out, we are twice as wealthy as we were 10 years ago, which actually isn't all that much in 10 years, but that's where we are, just net wealth overall, $85 to $170 trillion. The top 0.1% went from having 10.6 10 years ago to having 25 today. So they a little more than doubled. They went from, but that share, they went from 12% to 15%, and a little greater share too. The top 0.9% after that, they went from 15 to 30. They doubled. They went from 18% to 18%, holding steady at their share. So the slice of pie for the top 1% is the same, almost the same exactly. The amount of pie, though, has doubled. So do the wealthy have more pie or less than they used to have? More. They're doing better than they were 10 years ago, even though their share is the same, roughly. You follow? It's not the share that matters. It's the wealth that matters. Okay, well, what about the bottom 50%? The all of the rest of us. In 2015, we had $1 trillion amongst us. Now we have $4.3 trillion. We quadrupled in the time that the wealthiest doubled. What would you have preferred? Would you have preferred to only double? Would you, I mean, you know, it's, and our share of the wealth went from 1% to 2.5%. We had 150% increase in our share of the slice of the pie. And the pie got massiver. We are better off than we were 10 years ago. The all of us, the average of us, the half of us that are in the lowest 50%. So this nonsense about a rich-poor gap, the rich-poor gap is diminishing. If you look at the numbers, it's gotten closer. Now, the wealthy are going fast, way ahead. They're growing by millions a day. You're growing by hundreds or thousands a day. That's the wrong question. Is your life getting better? Is the life of everybody getting better? And the answer is yes and yes. Don't worry about the share. Worry about the actual quality of life. And also stop resenting the rich because they have a lot. They have a lot because they benefited the rest of us. Dave Regan, the president of the SEIU, I forget what that stands for. It's Employees Union. We think this is about values. We think this is a 5%, okay? And that wealthy people owe more. They're not paying their fair share. Nonsense. The amount of taxes they pay is ridiculous compared to what you pay. We think this is about what I pay. We think this is about values. We think this is about fairness. We think this is about equity. We believe that Californians are willing to say that the most fortunate... Or, you know, the hardest working, creative, clever, took advantage of the system, created wealth for a lot of people. And the wealthiest people among us can put forth a modest one-time 5% tax so that millions and millions and millions of people will continue to have at least a stable health insurance system. You know, or, or we can find a way to work within a free enterprise system where people are allowed to innovate and own the product of their innovation through patents, and then they can do free exchange, and then they can sell products to other people that benefit their lives. And then over the process of time, if you do that well enough, eventually, gosh, you'll be wealthy. And if you don't do that well enough, eventually, well, you'll always be resenting the wealthy for doing what you have the ability to do as an American and what people travel from all over the world, sometimes legally, sometimes illegally, to come here to take advantage of, that they then start businesses, start shops, come up with an idea, develop it, create it, patent it, sell it, whatever the case may be, and acquire the wealth in half the time that you took to not acquire the wealth that you don't have. But you're still doing better because you have the things they invented and things that they built. And even if you didn't contribute a lot to that innovation, you still benefit from having the access to the things that the wealthy and the innovators and the creators spin off. All right, that's my 10-minute homily on American capitalism. Stop resenting the rich. Stop resenting the fact that there are wealthy people in the world, and stop believing that that means you're poor because they have a lot. That's nonsense. PJ has traffic on the fives.
We have a hit-run crash, US 90 in Milton, right near Sunset Drive. No roadblock associated with that. Also, a disabled vehicle in the roadway, Okaloosa County, I-10 eastbound, right near Holt. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you need to do any kind of home improvement project around the house, you need to fix something, or, you know, you build things for a living, Pensacola Hardware is your place. For 175 years, they've been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola. So that means if you go, you know, walk around town and you see a 100-year-old home, they probably supplied the materials for that. Even a 50-year-old home. Of course, they're still helping people build today. But, you know, homes that are older, I mean, they've been around since before the Civil War, since before there was Levi's. They have been helping people build things. They are the commercial construction supply business. They have the warehouse. It's right here. They can work with you if you build things for a living. And if you just build things once in a while, you probably need guidance, safety consulting, help, just to make sure you're going to get the right thing. And they have great prices and all the rest of the stuff, too. Pensacola Hardware. Go find out why they have been the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Who do you let influence you? Proverbs 1:10 says, "If sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Those who promote evil are vying for your attention, approval, and even involvement. As Americans, we are faced with a barrage of sinful temptations promoted by others. Whether it's through social media, music, movies, or even in person, the world around us is full of enticing influences. One of the key elements to spiritual and mental success is to learn how to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Surround yourself with Christ-like people who have the joy of the Lord in their heart. Remember, if sinners entice thee, and they will, consent thou not, and your heart will both be liberated from guilt and strengthened with joy.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Every piece of jewelry has a story. Some start with a yes. Some start with, this belonged to my grandmother. Some start with, can we turn this into something new? However the story begins, the right jeweler helps it last. With custom design, careful restoration, and engagement rings built to last generations, Beret Jewelers has helped Pensacola keep those stories shining strong. Beret Jewelers. 40 years of coastal shine.
I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, running for Escambia County School Board, District 3. District 3 is asking for a change, and I agree. District 3 deserves a representative who will listen, communicate, and stay connected. I'm a retired military leader, a pastor, a community leader, and I'm ready to serve. I'll support teachers, strengthen schools, put students first, and always involve parents. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams. On August 18th, I would appreciate your vote.
Paid political ad by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia School Board, District 3.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, defensive.
I wanted to see exotic Vietnam, the jewel of Southeast Asia. I wanted to meet interesting and stimulating people of an ancient culture and kill them. I wanted to be the first kid on my block to get a confirmed kill.
Some of the best war movies are the most anti-war movies. Full Metal Jacket, of course, Stanley Kubrick's masterpiece. Joker there, Matthew Modine. 729 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning. Lindsey Graham's sister is expected to be sworn in later today to fill his Senate seat after his sudden death over the weekend. Of course, he was 71 years old. Darlene will serve in the role until that term ends January.
Kind of reminiscent of Gene Carnahan filling the seat for Mel when he had a plane crash. I think even during the contest, he was still getting elected for the Senate. But yeah, it's a difficult thing to figure out how to fill these seats, or you know, temporarily anyway, when somebody passes away.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump ordering a new set of strikes on Iranian military targets for a third straight night.
The U.S. pounded Iran for 5 hours last night. Also seeing reports that the IRGC carried out drone and missile strikes on U.S. military targets. All of this hours after the president said the U.S. was taking control of the strait.
That's Fox's Aisha Hazmi. Now, Supreme Court Justices Elena Kagan and Amy Coney Barrett will testify on Capitol Hill about the Supreme Court's proposed fiscal year budget, including $14 million meant to strengthen security protections for justices.
The U.S. Marshals Service says that in 2025, it saw a 57% increase in security incidents involving the judges.
That is Fox's Alex Hogan. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got partly cloudy skies, 77 degrees. We'll get a look at our forecast from Channel 3. Brooke Richardson, that's up in just a few minutes. The old Baptist Hospital towers are starting to come down. The whole site should be cleared out by the beginning of next year. Project manager Joshua Wallace with Jacobs says crews are in phase 3 of the demolition process. Working through the hospital's tower buildings.
Towers 1, 2, and 3 are targeted to be complete by September of this year. And at that point, they will transition to the main hospital to start demolition of that area. And so, you know, best case scenario, I usually try not to jinx ourselves like that. But, you know, we can see a December completion for the for all buildings on the site. But we're going to hold a January completion right now, which is what our schedule is pushing towards.
Wallace says his team will give another public update on that project August 2nd at the Lakeview Center in Pensacola. The Pensacola City Council will soon be taking up its own version of a data center moratorium, mirroring similar measures already moving through Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. The proposed ordinance would temporarily block the city from accepting or approving permits for a large-scale data center or large-load customer facilities. Councilman Jared Moore raised some questions about how that rule would actually be triggered during a review of an agenda review meeting last night. City staff say they'll have some more details before that comes up for a public hearing. Well, a third arrest has been made in the deadly downtown Pensacola shooting. Police say 16-year-old Kanye Dwayne Walker handed the gun to Nicholas Safford, who is accused of firing a shot during the incident that killed 19-year-old P.J. Shepard. Walker faces aggravated assault and weapons charges. PPD says at least three people fired guns that night. PPD Chief Eric Winstrom tells Channel 3 he is warning against retaliation as detectives continue to dig through evidence related to that case. So far, nobody has been charged with murder. Well, Pensacola State College has a new head coach for the Lady Pirates, Kayla Gordon. She comes from Ole Miss, where she helped the Rebels reach the Sweet 16 the past season. And she previously started Jacksonville University, where she's still the program's all-time leading rebounder. Gordon says she wants to build a culture rooted in discipline and accountability. She takes over as the Lady Pirates prepare for the 2026 and 2027 season. Northwest Florida Congressman Jimmy Patronis says the 5-4 birthright citizenship ruling from the Supreme Court recently sends a message, even though the Constitution did prevail. But he says it's now Congress's job to close the loopholes that allow the system to be exploited.
I do think that the Supremes do still, because of a 5-4, that they realize this is games being played with our Constitution. It's exploiting it in a perverted way that was never meant to be perverted. And the airlines are enabling this. But you know what? If we're giving them visas, then the airlines are just, you know, complying with, you know, a government document that they've received.
Petrona says the fix starts at the visa application stage, requiring applicants to disclose pregnancy and making clear that entering the country under false pretenses to give birth will result in parents being permanently barred from the United States. 735. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Still working that hit-and-run crash, US 90 in Milton, right near Sunset Drive. No roadblock associated with that. Also, we're working a disabled vehicle on the roadway, I-10 eastbound, right near mile marker 49 in Holt. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at a 60% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies with just a 20% chance of rain, high near 91. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies with a 10% chance of rain, high near 92. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 81. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And we've got 78 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies across the area. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. U.S. consumer inflation likely slowed in June, but that would probably offer little comfort to households or rule out an interest rate increase from the Federal Reserve this year. Reuters economists predict the consumer price index increased by 3.8% in the 12 months through June. President Trump's plan to impose a 20% fee on cargo passing through the Strait of Hormuz is threatening the global oil surplus, especially if renewed fighting shuts the key waterway again. Analysts say the proposed levy matters less for its direct costs than for what it signals, a heightened risk that disruptions to shipping through the strait could lead to supply shortages. Chances that the Federal Reserve will hike rates at its July meetings are rising. CME's FedWatch tool now estimates there's a more than 46% chance that the central bank raises interest rates by 25 basis points. On prediction market platform Kalshi, the chances are at 36%. Futures are mixed after IBM warns that earnings will not reach expectations. That's Your Money Now.
This July, America celebrates 250 years of freedom. And at Jim's Firearms, they're proud to celebrate the values that make this country strong. Freedom, responsibility, community. It's Brent Lane for Jim's Firearms. Every customer matters, whether you're purchasing your first firearm or adding to a lifetime collection. Their experienced team is there to answer your questions, earn your trust, and help you make the right choice. Jim's Firearms, backed by more than 35 years of family tradition at the corner of Sorrento Road and Blue Angel Parkway or at jimsfirearms.net.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensure our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board, District 3.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020.
The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us this morning. Sheriff Chip Simmons is here in studio with me. Sheriff, welcome back. Always good to have you, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We had over on Lillian Highway, this is last week, we had, I guess, an Uber driver got, I don't know if you'd call it a carjacking, got a gun pulled on him by, I don't know how you say this name, Kayshawn, maybe, McKinney. What do we know about this?
Well, that's pretty much what I recall. That happened, what, about a week or so ago?
Yeah, I think that's right, about a week ago. Shots were fired and... You know, do we have him in custody?
Yeah, I want to say we made an arrest in that case.
Okay.
I think that there were no other injuries.
Do you have very many complaints from either Uber riders or Uber drivers or Lyft or any of the other ride shares? Is that an issue for you guys at all very much?
I hardly ever hear of any situation with Uber drivers.
You know, I think
there are some complaints I read online, but there's nothing that we get reported as regarding criminal activity. I say nothing. Very little.
It's not notable.
Correct.
It's more notable. They become news stories. And I think a lot of times, a story about an incident takes place in Iowa and then another similar incident takes place in Maryland and then some other one takes place in, you know, Texas. And you're like, oh, my God, it's happening everywhere. No, it's three incidents in a country of 35-40 million people. Like,
well, yeah. And I get that for a lot of things. I'll be at a restaurant. So, man, I hear... you know, these things are going on all over the place. Well, that's not here. That was in another place.
Right.
Oh, yeah, but what about this one? Well, that was in another state.
Exactly.
Oh, well, what's going on here? Well, I mean, there are some things locally, but you need to just pay attention to what's being reported.
And I find myself having that same view. I mean, you know, unfortunately, Walmart has been a site of a lot of incidents, you know? Well, there's a lot of Walmarts, a lot of people go there. Right. And also, every day there's an incident at some Walmart somewhere. There's also, you know, 99.99% of all the Walmarts and the people who went there had no incident. You know, but it's human perception is funny. And so I tend to think, well, I got to be sure I'm carrying when I go to the Walmart. And if I'm going, you know, to, you know, play kickball, then we don't need to carry. But it's just your brain processes these things so weirdly.
Yeah, we get that a lot with this crime stats whenever we reported them, mm-hmm. you know, years that passed and. Even this year, I mean, we're looking at over the last 3 years, like a 40% reduction in property and persons crimes, which is really great in Escambia County. But whenever I mention that to people, like, there's no way because I hear about it more than I've ever heard about it.
Yeah.
Like, all I can tell you is the stats are what they are. And I can also tell you, having been in law enforcement for 40 years, that it's not worse it's ever been like people think it is. It's much better. In fact, it's almost half of what it used to be in the 80s and the crack epidemic and that sort of thing. So. It is what it is. I'm not saying. I mean, one's too many, right? One act of violence is too many acts of violence. But it's like you say. People hear about it, they read about it, and they personalize.
They imagine it, right?
And it's like, oh, it must be something that also happens here.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that I think you're going to find a little bit scandalous, and maybe you'll disagree with me about this. But people are largely emotional and irrational, and they are fed emotional and irrational information, which exacerbates the problem. But then this is the part you'll really disagree with me about. You ready?
The scandalous part?
Yeah, this is the really scandalous part. I almost am ashamed to say it out loud on the air, but people are not that good at math.
Math?
Math. Yeah, they're not that good at understanding that their experience of something, especially their vicarious experience of a TV news report on a crime that happened in their community, bears zero relationship to whether over the 330,000 people we have in Escambia County are actually having more, less, or the same amount of crime, which is a math issue. The human brain doesn't do well at math. It does well at imagination and fear and emotion and irrationality. Well, so, you know, you're trying – I mean, I'm joking, but the point is people are not well-suited to understand what you're saying, which is that crime is actually a lot better. You're safer today than you were a year ago statistically.
Right, and the sheriff's office, speak just for my agency, is more capable than they've ever been. Response times are probably shorter than they've ever been. our cars are better. Our GPS mapping's better. You know, our dispatchers are better to put
the real-time crime the right center is better.
Everything's better.
But there was a big shooting downtown. Yeah, one incident. You know, like that's the
as
point.
Bad as it
one,
was, as right.
one incident. Right.
I don't know if that's as scandalous as I had hoped.
No, the scandalous part is alleging that people are bad at math. No, people are terrible at math, and that's part of the problem. And understanding the significance of math and being able to talk yourself into the belief that, well, gosh, the numbers say this, but my experience says this. Well, your experience is biased and not statistically reliable. That's the reason it's experience as opposed to the aggregated experience of all of these people that produces the numbers that you're quoting. We'll get back to the sheriff in just a second. PJ, I feel I'm in lecture mode today. I just miss teaching a lot. You know, it's been a while since I had a classroom, and I miss teaching a little bit, so I apologize.
As long as you don't grade my citizenship, I'm
no,
good.
No, you're fine. 86. Okay, PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Still working that hit-and-run crash, US 90 in Milton, right near Sunset Drive. No roadblock associated with that. The front gate of NAS Pensacola is backed up to Inner-A. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right, thanks so much, PJ. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. You had detectives working a case where a 16-year-old was shot early morning hours of July 10th over on, is it Deauville Way in Montclair? Is that how you say it?
Yes.
And?
That's how it was reported. It was reported that at 1:30 in the morning, a 16-year-old says that he was standing in his doorway.
Why is a 16-year-old standing in his doorway at 1:30 in the morning?
I don't know.
Okay.
But he claims he was standing in his doorway. A car sped by the front of his house and fired, and he ended up getting shot. Non-life-threatening injuries.
Thank goodness.
He's awake, alert, talking.
Good.
And recovering. But the crime scene itself, we found some shell casings in the driveway. And a speeding car.
As in,
car
not ejected
not
from the speeding car.
Do,
these are shell casings that were like return fire or something?
Something took place in the area of the driveway.
Sure. Okay.
And not necessarily in the doorway or by a speeding car. But anyways, we're investigating it, and we're trying to see if we can connect it to some of the crimes.
So his version of events is, I don't know nothing. I was standing on the corner peeling my apple when this guy walks up and hurts me in his doorway, and there's evidence that maybe says that's not 100%. The best, most believable story.
Yeah, we're working on accuracy right about now, and our investigators are trying to decide.
For the people who've listened to this, our interviews for a time, they know this is not surprising. But for the brand new person, you mean people lie to you about what happened surrounding guns and behavior and crimes?
I tell you that people lie to us all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who gets lied to more. Parents, teachers, preachers, who knows? But
girlfriends, boyfriends.
Girlfriends, boyfriends, yeah. The IRS.
Yeah, right. But there are a lot of people who lie.
A lot of people lie to law enforcement. That's
okay, great. All right.
A lot of people tell us the truth.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of people that lie to us.
And you have to approach every person with a bit of...
suspect.
Yeah.
Suspicious minds, if you will.
Well, and I mean, not to give somebody cover for the lying, but also it's true that people are not great at perception and recollection and recounting. And so even somebody who's trying to tell their version of the truth.
We certainly take that into account.
Yeah. I mean, they get things wrong.
Been involved in some sort of trauma and it's right after the fact. And they're trying to recollect exactly what took place. But there are times when it's like, you know, there's no way that could happen. And then they stick to it or they change it just a little bit.
Yeah.
Our favorite, the one going around, is we were able to catch someone years back and they had some drugs in their pants. And the response is, these aren't my pants. Well, you're wearing those pants. Yeah, these aren't mine. Borrowed someone else's pants. I take it.
This brings up a question for me. Do you teach people how to detect deception? Do you teach people, or is it just go out there and learn, kid? You know, like, I mean, I know I assume you teach how to use a gun. You teach self-defense.
Right.
You know, you teach a lot of de-escalation, conflict management kind of skills. You know,
We go over that in the police academy. There's versions of that where we teach interview techniques,
yeah,
and how to talk to people and what they look like when they're, are they closing their eyes, they're looking away, that sort of thing. Things that almost everyone
eye
knows.
Movements, okay, yeah.
And a lot of things that almost every parent knows,
yeah,
when they talk to their kids. But I think a lot of it also deals with experience. Mm-hmm. We have some investigators, and it's been my experience throughout the years, is that we have some investigators that are great at interrogation.
Yeah.
We have some that are just the facts. I got four questions and yes or no answers is all I need. And which one's more effective? Obviously the one that can kind of get to the truth. And again, it's that thing where how much can you relate? How much can you talk to somebody? How much can you see through? what they're the bull that they're trying to give you.
Yeah. And I just, the reason I ask is because I have a theory. My theory is that if you grow up with basically decent parents, you don't really learn how to detect lies very well. But if you grow up with really bad, you know, wicked parents, you and bad siblings, you know, you learn from experience how to do those things. One of my problems, I was raised by basically good parents. I never had a lot of exposure to lies. And so, I know irrationality. I know errors in logic. But lying is something I've never been all that great at detecting. I mean, if the lie doesn't add up, that's one thing. But, you know, a lot of lies add up. They're just false.
I will tell you that you know, you're talking about if you're not used to it, you're not the best at it, right?
Yeah.
I know that one of the big things that we teach, I try to teach our new recruits, and this has been the way for years, is like domestic violence calls.
Mm.
We have recruits that have never experienced or never witnessed a domestic violence type call
because
they were not raised in that environment.
Right.
And then the first day they're on the street, they go to five of them.
Yeah.
And they're wide-eyed, and I cannot believe that parents talk to each other like our kids are like that.
Right.
And it's something we have to say, hey, this is unfortunately what happens sometimes.
And the people who are more likely to call you are going to be more likely on that end of the spectrum, so to speak.
Right.
You know, because the ones who manage conflict well, get along, are kind to each other, don't typically need you to come to their house.
Yeah, and I guess the good part of that is the experience that comes with it from a law enforcement perspective. Then you don't tend to miss some things that you might if you were still brand new.
We also had an incident with a homeless man stabbing another one near the waterfront mission. Is that right?
That's correct. Right there around the Crystals on Fairfield Drive, we responded to a cutting victim, and then we determined that a 66-year-old male had a couple of stab wounds to his chest, and we determined also that a 30-year-old Thomas Cortijo had attacked him near the waterfront mission, as you mentioned, and then we ended up finding him at a homeless encampment and charged him with the attempted homicide on Sunday.
Mm, okay. We had they burglarized the air conditioning units at Brownsville AOG, is that right?
They took the air conditioning
units.
They took the whole unit. So we put a picture out on social media because a suspect caught on camera, I guess, not our cameras, but I guess the church had camera security footage themselves. And there's this guy on a three-wheeled bicycle. I don't know if you call them, because it's a big one. It's
a tricycle?
Really a tricycle, but it's a big one.
Okay. A grown-up tricycle.
A grown-up tricycle. Looked like powder blue or light blue in color. And he had a trailer on this three-wheeled bicycle, and he is loading an air conditioner onto the back of his trailer, pedaling off.
By himself?
Returning. By himself, apparently. I don't think they were huge. They weren't the main
like
sanctuary.
Personal size. Okay, smaller. Gotcha.
Probably for one of the classrooms. And he ended up, and he came back and he did it two or three times, ended up catching them with three, stealing three of the.
The getaway vehicle was a tricycle.
Yes, yes.
And a trailer attached to the tricycle.
Well, we hadn't caught him yet.
Okay,
here is that someone would recognize him.
Yeah.
Or this rather unique getaway vehicle that he's using. Or, you know, the combination of all or both those things in the trailer as well.
Okay. All right. Hey, last question I had for you is just it's something that had come up with regard to the downtown incident that took place on July 5th in the early morning. I had asked Mike Wood, you know Mike really well. You know, you were his boss for a while and you're good friends. But he had said I'd asked about ShotSpotter and basically said that it wouldn't much make a difference because of the whole scenario with all the cops and all that stuff. But I thought what he indicated was that ShotSpotter was still active. I had thought ShotSpotter, the contract had ended. I thought we had run out of money for it. And it had been kind of like it's good enough to use somebody else's money, not good enough to use our money for it somewhere in that vicinity. Is ShotSpotter still active in the county?
It is still active. It's one of those things where it's no longer supported. We stopped paying for it because we didn't get the appropriation. It was approved by the Congress, but the legislature, but the governor vetoed it. So we haven't had it since October. We haven't been paying for it since October. But I guess the microphones are still out there and it's still active. And to their credit, they haven't just flipped the switch. And I guess the thought there is as long as they don't need the equipment, they'll let us continue.
Okay. I'm guessing that maybe they have some hope you'll come back or something like that. But how useful is it in the scheme of things? I mean, I thought it had been pretty useful, and I know that's the perception people have is that it's pretty useful. Are we missing a lot because we don't have that active service? Like, you tell me. I don't know.
I don't think we're missing very much, to be honest. The ShotSpotter stuff, when of all the ShotSpotter indications that we had, probably 1% was actually a shot fired in anger. That's just an estimate on my part. A lot of them are shots into the ground. No one's hit, so we don't know if it's a shot into the air in celebration or whatever. So most of them, the calls I say 1%. 1% helped us where we got there and we were able to use ShotSpotter to find rounds. Probably 4 to 5% are shots fired in anger where someone may be, have been shot at. So is it worth a couple $100,000? I'd rather use that money for police cars or for, quite frankly, license plate readers or something like that, where we can actually use it to catch the bad guys.
You do get a lot of good, useful results that you can work on. Okay, all right. Yeah. That's why I asked. Chip Simmons, he's the Escambia County Sheriff, as always, sir. Thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you do, keeping us informed, indulging me in my speculations about the police training and effective lie detection. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And what's that? And math. Yeah, obviously math. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Thanks so much. 755 News Radio 92.3. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
I-10 westbound right at mile marker 1 near Beeler Road. We have some debris in the roadway. Use caution through that area. Also still working that vehicle crash hit and run crash US 90 in Milton right near Sunset Drive. No roadblock. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
You know, if you started a business, you started it because probably, presumably, you like to do the thing that you're going to market to other people, whether it's installing IT systems or doing HVAC work or construction or law or medicine or building cars or repairing them, whatever. You probably didn't get into business because you wanted to do employee benefits in your free time, you know, for fun, right? Like, you know, in health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, managing HR, doing payroll, like none of that stuff is fun. But you have a growing business, you have to do it. Well, Torgerson Consulting, they got into business to do what you don't like to do. They're good at it. They like it. They're weird nerds, like in a good way. That's their passion. And they've been working with us here at Cat Country and News Radio for 5 years. They've been in business for 25 years since 2001. It's actually their 25th anniversary, birthday, whatever, this year. And they're fantastic. My wife approves of them, and she doesn't almost ever approve of folks like this because they're always salespeople and not detailed, and she's very detailed. But they answer our questions. They gave us plans we didn't know about and have access to before, better deals. I mean, they're not wizards. They can't make the marketplace be what it isn't, but they can find us the best plans that are out there. And you know, we have found them to be extraordinarily useful. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more. At Fishbine Orthodontics, a beautiful smile doesn't have to feel out of reach. With flexible payment options and plans designed to fit real family budgets, Fishbine Orthodontics makes braces and Invisalign easier to say yes to. Comfortable care, thoughtful guidance, and a team that works with you every step of the way. Fishbine Orthodontics, making confident smiles more accessible for every family. Schedule your free consultation and fall in love with your smile. Visit fishortho.com today.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Woo! Summer's heating up and we're smoking at Sonny's. Our new summer menu is hot and your favorite barbecue bowls, they're back. How about our new cherry cola pork burnt ends, some brisket mac and cheese, or slider trio? And finish your meal off with some cherry cobbler egg rolls. With four locations in the News Radio area, we look forward to slathering you with Southern hospitality. If it's smoking out back, it's Sonny's out front. Don't forget to download your Sonny's barbecue app for sizzling summer deals and rewards. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Get ready for the News Radio 92.3 Naval Aviation Museum Foundation broadcast of the 2026 Blue Angels Air Show on Pensacola Beach. Hear the narration right here on News Radio 92.3. Bring your radio or download our app. Then tune in Friday at 2 and then Saturday starting at 11 to hear all the narration from the News Radio team and the Blue Angels. Brought to you by Fishbane Orthodontics, Florida's finest structures, Express Pros Pensacola, Buffalo Rock, and Emerald Coast Coins. Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Sit down there. All right, first off, let's see their muscles.
Oh.
What a great show. Such a great show. 759 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne has got a headline or two for us in the newsroom. David?
Haven't we all spent our time grunting like Tim Taylor? Chipotle is doing something it's never done before, Andrew. It's opening its first restaurant in Mexico, in Nuevo León, in partnership with a restaurant operator there.
What do they call the food they serve there?
Chipotle Mexican Grill.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.